a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented baby, by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It is one of our favorite days in all of sports. It is the first day of the NCAA tournament first round. Not the first four, the first round. It's the real first round. I'll say it. Two big upsets already today. A 13 seed over a 4 seed. That was Furman over the Virginia Cavaliers. I think the only other person
I hate today
at KSL Sports who picked the 13-4 upset was also joining us on the program right now. He is Mitch Harper, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com. You had the Furman pick over Virginia, right, Mitch?
I did, but I'm not proud of it now because I had Arizona in the national championship.
Yeah, see,
you're
and Scott
right there
did
with
too
me, buddy.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So
yeah,
how do we humble you quick? Well, how do we overcome this? You know, how do we pick ourselves up off the floor, Mitch Harper?
Maybe Arizona just needs to go to another conference to prepare itself for the tournament.
Hey, Utah fans, didn't take that long, did it? We have a conference mention already, a couple minutes into the interview here. But my goodness, this is – and, Mitch, you follow BYU. Obviously, you're the best in the market at following BYU and covering the Cougs. And, you know, Mark Pope's team on the outside looking in this year, that's kind of a depressing thing, but at the same time, like, we all agree that, I mean, I don't follow college basketball on a national level until right now, and that's maybe what makes it just so much fun too.
It's true, and I think that, you know, with this college basketball, it's still this tournament. It's amazing how you get in a neutral court, and, you know, these games that you would think Arizona and Princeton in December would probably be a 20-point blowout in favor of the Wildcats. But in this stage, just the nerves, everything kind of can go sideways, and an amazing upset can happen. And, you know, for teams like BYU, they're going to, you know, try and get back one day to get to this tournament. You don't know when because, you know, the margin for error for BYU will definitely increase in the Big 12. But you go, where do you get 18, 19 wins in their future league home? So it'll be a daunting task for Mark Pope and his staff to one day get back to a setting like this once again in the NCAA tournament.
I don't want to talk about basketball anymore. It's kind of over.
Now he's depressed.
But I do want to talk. We had Dave McCann on earlier, and he was mentioning Keaton Slovis and just his experience playing against Power 5 schools. And it's significant, much more significant, really, than anyone in the program. I'm curious your thoughts. What kind of impact is that going to have on him at BYU and going into this first season for BYU in the Big 12?
I mean, I just don't think he's going to be fazed by, you know, the type of defenses that he's going to face. And, you know, he's seen big stages. He's been in programs that have, you know, faced pressure and scrutiny. I mean, USC, I mean, every week you know, it was a dynamic where he's going in and his fan base probably wanted him to lose games because they hated the head coach so bad. And just, you know, like, so he's used to big stages, and so nothing that he's going to see this fall will probably faze him. And I think that's probably a good thing. Is it going to lead to BYU being in a bowl game? We'll see. I mean, it's still not out of the realm of possibility that BYU's a 4- or 5-win football team this year, because you look at some of the, you know, personnel issues, maybe at linebacker and some of the other spots, there's not much depth wide receiver. There is some real concerns there for BYU when they come out of spring and they look to go to the transfer portal in May. But I think that Slovis has exceeded maybe what I was expecting from him to this point of spring. He has looked pretty good, really good, in fact. And, you know, will it translate to games in the fall? We'll see. But he looks very comfortable in Aaron Roderick's offense. There seems to be good alignment between him and Roderick. And, you know, I think that he's also becoming embraced as a leader. I mean, you talk with every teammate of his, and they all just speak glowing reviews about him as a leader. I think that kind of matters a bit when it comes to having a team that loses Jaren Hall, who was that leader. Keaton Slovis is trying to take that mantle after a year at Pitt where, you know, his leadership was questioned by head coach Pat Narduzzi.
So, I mean, we have to be careful with hyperbole, right? Because it's the freaking spring, and when you overdo it sometimes when you talk about these guys and some of these, you know, videos, these little short video clips that you see coming out of Provo, I think fans legitimately could be excited about some of the things that are happening. But I think that what you definitely have gotten, and you tell me what it's looked like, what's changed? Because you've been down there for springs in the past and with Kalani even. And so what's changed? And is it really that wave of new coaches who've brought in what seems to be a lot more energy and changing a little bit of the culture, at least some of it?
The intensity from the defensive staff is night and day different. You know, yesterday there was a final play of the team portion, and it was a goal line situation. BYU's offense was on like the 1.5-yard line. And there were some questions. It looked like there might have been a holding penalty, and Jay Hill's just getting fiery like it's BYU versus Texas in the Big 12 championship on the line. He's losing his mind, and he's wanting a flag. And I just think that his intensity and how he'll get in the face of players saying, you know, that this was wrong, this was incorrect, that's just different. We haven't seen that at all from anyone in BYU's coaching staff. Kalani, for the first 7 years of Kalani's tenure, there hasn't been anyone in BYU's program that's been that way. And it's different, and it's noticeable. And I think that's something that stands out. And I think that this defensive staff, and also the offensive staff too, to a lesser degree, but the defensive side, like, they're making it clear that they are nowhere near a finished product from a personnel side of things. So I was talking with Justin Enna yesterday, and he wants to go into the portal and get a guy or two at linebacker. He needs it. And, you know, he wants these current guys that are in spring to rise to the occasion and make the most of their opportunities. But they're not just handing jobs over because they know they're in the Big 12 and they're in Power 5 football and their jobs are still on the line no matter what. And they got to win and they still got to perform and be competitive at least. So I think that there's just, again, there's this urgency that no job is just given to anyone. I think in years past, you just kind of knew BYU's limitations and said, well, you're an independent and, you know, it's this world of NIL and, you know, this guy that maybe doesn't warrant a scholarship is going to stay on the roster just because. But I think those days are numbered. And I think that, you know, it's a very, you know, aggressive mindset. And that defense is going to be aggressive with Jay Hill being kind of the, you know, tone setter in all of that aspect. And I think from the offensive side, the biggest change too, I think, is that BYU's running backs are really, really good this year. Aiden Robbins has not participated in any team portion, but he has participated in all the rest of practices. He's going to probably be RB1, but then you got Hinkley Ropati, Miles Davis, and then LJ Martin's coming in the fall. They also like, you know, BYU's got, they've got players in that backfield, that running back, that they feel they go 4 or 5 deep at. And that is a new change. That's a new look for BYU. And that's also a good thing to help Keaton Slovis when you want to play complimentary football with that offense, that it's not just going to be a one-sided deal with the passing game. It's going to be, you know, they're going to actually have a lot of options at running back this year, even if they have some injuries in that backfield.
How much knowledge do schools have about the portal right now? I know it's closed, but you know, do they know of players out there, or does it just kind of all of a sudden start filling up with guys once the spring football is over.
Can they look even right now?
I mean, can you look and know of guys and are there? Do you know of guys that are in the portal that may fit some of the needs that BYU has?
Well, BYU support staff is when the analysts they're very active when it comes to monitoring the portal. There's still guys that are in that portal. Look at a guy like Utah linebacker Andrew Mataafa. Was someone that took a visit to BYU a few months back. I mean, he's still in the portal. Maybe he could be an option for BYU. We'll see. But, you know, there are still guys there. And if you're already in the portal, you can be recruited. You know, and then that Utah State linebacker who just recently came in, I don't want to botch his name, but AJ is his first name. You know, I think that would be an option that BYU has to pursue too. Washington State could be in the mix there as well. But I just think that, you know, BYU will be in pursuit. And I think that, you know, when it comes to transfer portal recruiting, it does seem like there's always back channels that you kind of sense when someone is trending towards making that move. No one's going to ever go on the record and say that. But back channel recruiting is happening when it comes to the portal, sensing who will enter and then pouncing at the moment when that guy is in the portal and maybe making that, you know, getting that deal done as soon as possible. That is a thing that happens. We've seen it a little bit with basketball with that Utah guard Saunders who ends up immediately at McNeese State. So that is a thing, and you got to just kind of know, have those connections that you turn to in the recruiting world and kind of get a sense of who might be exiting because, you know, a lot of these guys keep in touch with their high school recruits still or their high school coaches rather, and so you can kind of get some intel there. I mean, there's various ways to kind of forecast who might enter the portal and then kind of getting a sense of other programs, depth charts potentially, and a lot of that job rests on the analysts. And I think that's why it's so critical to have that extensive support staff that goes beyond the 10 full-time assistant coaches. You know, BYU added a guy from Oklahoma State this year, and Braden Kearsley, a former offensive lineman, who was kind of a heralded recruit back in the day when BYU was incorporating the Go Fast, Go Hard offense. He comes over from Oklahoma State. They've got Matt Mitchell, who was once at Baylor with Jeff Grimes. They've got Al Papunu, who was he was a coordinator at Weber State, if memory serves me right. He was also working at Colorado. So they've got some, you know, pretty good analysts on this staff. Sure, they'd always like to have more if they can and have those resources necessary. But yeah, those guys are the ones that are combing the portal and keeping tabs of everything that happens in that. So when you get to May 1st to 15th, that next portal window, this coaching staff can go into attack mode and really try to bolster their roster for the final push before the Big 12 starts and kicks into full gear.
Back channel recruiting is one of my favorite pastimes. Right at the end of football games, you watch players from the two teams go and greet each other, and you just watch the players that go up to the opposing coaches.
And the coaches go, you know, I just have a ton of respect for that kid.
You just see there's a conversation that goes on, and it's like,
I just wanted to tell him I loved him. You know, I think his family's great. You know, I mean, we call it poaching. We call it tampering. Back channel recruiting is a way better way to put it in 2023. Mitch Harper, BYU insider for KSLSports.com. You can read his byline there. Get caught up on spring, and you do get the vibe that defensive staff is right now running just on an insane amount of energy and bringing it. And so does Mitch Harper. So if you want to get everything that comes to BYU, KSLSports.com. Mitch, thanks for hanging out, man.
You bet, guys. Take care.
There you go. Mitch Harper. I think you just have to have that balance in the spring of going, hey, that's cool. That's awesome. And then moving on, like, you don't want to just dive too far into, like,
it almost feels
sometimes these depth charts are just, they change so much even before fall.
It almost feels like spring football is about what we're going to take or what we're going to offer to the transfer portal and what we're going to get out of it.
It's I'm sure
the coaches go, look, we need your scholarship. You need to move on.
Or they go, dude, you're on the cusp here, and if you don't show me you have something, then I'm going to ask for your scholarship. Like, we need to have that conversation at the end of spring. So maybe that's why you get a little bit more intensity. As Arkansas just defeated Illinois, the 8 seed defeating the 9 seed in the NCAA.
Got that one right.
West Region first round. Hey, good
freaking
for you.
Freaking Arizona.
What did Mitch call him? He goes, isn't that a four-corner school?
Boy, they really want to.
Boy, Mitch went hard without even going that hard.
Yeah,
man.
He did.
It was good.
It was good.
We'll take another break. When we return, we will chat a little bit around the corner. We do have a I want to continue a little bit more of that conversation about the quarterback, because you talk about transfer portal. BYU immediately, I mean, they have a year with Keaton Slovis if he stays healthy, right? And then suddenly they're back to square one. How long is the transfer portal, like, dipping in there for major skill position? How long can that happen? And how much does it actually work? All right, we will come back. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.